Matthew 5, if you would open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, let's start here in verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning, thanking you for the reading of your word. It's a small portion of scripture, most of it using a springboard to go into other things. But Father, very important scripture, as all of scripture is. And we pray that you might bless it to our spiritual understanding. The message here will be to those who have received Christ as Savior. But we also know that somebody could be sitting here without Christ and still benefit by the things that are said. And hopefully be convicted of their sin and their great need to be saved as well. And they themselves come to trust Christ as their Savior. So I would pray that you would speak through me and to those that are here, those that might be watching, and those that may pick up a DVD or see it on our website sometime later. I know my deficiencies, and I know that the weakness. And I know that you can work through all of that to get to wherever we are at this morning. And so I pray that you would do that. I cannot fashion anybody's mind to think otherwise, but I know your word can. And so I pray that we can mix these together and achieve an end that brings forth fruit. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There are two things that the Lord speaks to we who are saved to be. And again, I have to reiterate this. Much of what I'm about to say, lost people may or may not agree with me. That's not what I'm here to have you agree with me, but I want you to agree with the word for sure. So there are two things that we are to be who are saved. The first one is salt. Salt is has a threefold meaning. It corrects. It preserves from decomposition. It slows the process. And it purifies. I find that it's very closely related to the watchman of the Old Testament. I want you to go back to the book of Ezekiel, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Watchmen were an interesting group of people. They served a very distinct cause in the nation of Israel and Judah. Ezekiel chapter 3, look down here in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. So a watchman was to look into the distance. Sometimes he was on the wall. Other times he could have been out in the field. He was to observe. He was to wait, and he was to announce warning of the possible danger or trouble. All of those things were very important. When I look at salt, I look really the watchman and salt. The watchman was an example of Old Testament salt. They didn't have cameras. They didn't have satellites. They didn't have anything. They just had people. And so enemies could creep in from out and about, And the watchmen were very important. They're like the New Testament shepherd. The shepherd is to look and to be able to tell and see things that are foreign to the faith, dangerous to the faith, and warn the sheep. We don't have a lot of that today. The second thing is light. A light exposes the darkness. So hold your place here. No, don't hold your place here. We're going to leave here. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Use some familiar verses. Get into the light and the darkness here in just a bit. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, what does it say? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the light that we have in Matthew 5:16 is not to be hidden or buried somewhere. We are here to let it shine and to let it shine brightly. And as this world darkens, as our country darkens, the greater will be the value of your light. But if you think you can get away with being a vessel of light and hide it and prosper, you're sadly mistaken. And you're part of the cause of the evil spreading. So, go with me to John chapter 20. I mean, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Chapter 20, and I want to begin reading in verse 27. These are the final words of Paul to the church at Ephesus. And he says that, Acts chapter 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul warned, but that's not all he did. But he warned the believers at the church of Ephesus of this impending danger and an infiltration into the local church after he was gone. They were to be vigilant. They were to be watching. We know from Revelation chapter 2, the first church there of the seven, that they heeded what he had said. But in the process, they lost their first love. They left their first love. I think they became enamored with this knowledge and ability they had to see things as they really were, and forgot who they were there to serve, and who God was and who they were. So, here we go. My review of dates is probably not going to be chronological. It could be all over the place. It kind of fell together as I saw these things or put them together. And where I can, I'll definitely give you dates. So on April 23rd, a man by the name of John Sherwood was preaching the gospel outside of Uxbridge Station in the United Kingdom this year. Police arrived and charged the 71-year-old man with homophobic language under the Public Order Act and detained him. What was his homophobic language? And I'm quoting, "I was just defining marriage as a relationship between a man and a woman. I was only saying what the Bible says," unquote. After the crowd dispersed and he was taken physically off the platform and he was injured, they let him go. A Dr. Terry Mortensen, who was preaching in a Southern Baptist church, again last month in Bentonville, Arkansas, home of Walmart. Somehow I think he's associated with Answers in Genesis people. And he said that he gave a message on the relevance of Genesis 1 through 11 as being foundational to, if you're familiar with Ken Ham, he uses this to the rest of Scripture, and shows that the acceptance of millions of years in evolution undermines the Bible's teaching on sin, marriage, death, gospel, morality, and said that adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, and transgenderism are all wrong because they go against God's created order and commands. And praise the Lord for that. After the service, after the final song was being sung, the pastor said, "Can we go backstage?" And so they did. And the pastor related to him that what you said concerning morality was not the message that I wanted you to give. And I want you to change your message before the second service, which I gather would be an evening service. The pastor proceeded after he had left to apologize for the message that he preached and took the presentations down. They removed the presentations from the church and their Facebook page. A Christian member of Finland's parliament, a mother, a grandmother, faces 6 years of imprisonment for 3 crimes. The use of hate speech for sharing her opinion of human sexuality, and she did it, the 3 crimes, she did it on TV, she did it on social media, and she had a pamphlet, which I gather was a tract. Okay, go with me to Genesis chapter 2. This is familiar as familiar can be. I think in light of all the things that have been going on for the last decade, Genesis 2 should be as well known as John 3. If not, it should be. Genesis 2, verse 21. "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So we find there that marriage is between a biological male and a biological woman. Now listen, there is no debate. This is a biblical absolute. It matters not what man may do or what man may say or man may legislate. The Bible stands true. All right? So, go with me to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Because the association of where I'm going and marriage is very pivotal to the things that we're going to look at. Leviticus chapter 18. And look at verse 22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." And God has a statement to make about that. There's a command and a statement. It is abomination. I did not write that. God wrote that. Chapter 20. Look at verse 13. "If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination." And back in the Old Testament, "they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." Now, I want to combine that with what we have in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's look here down in verse 26 and 27. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look here in verse 9 and in verse 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Right, we're piling up some information here, I know. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's look here in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to do verse 10 yet. All right, so this, all of this tells us of the sin of what we are seeing as being justified in our day, and not just justified, not legalized, but with the desire or with the intent of affirming everything that's taking place. So let's go back in the Old Testament again. 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings 14, and we'll begin reading in verse 22. 1 Kings 14:22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. That's the third time the Lord associates the sexual perversion with abomination. Chapter 15. Look at verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. All right, and then 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. And look here in verse 17. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it's the sepulcher. No, that's the wrong verse. 2 Kings 23, verse 7. I'm sorry. Verse 7. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women were wove hangings for the grove. All right, and one more. Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. And this is verse 17. Deuteronomy 23, 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. So, we're looking at the moral standard of God, and that the moral standard of God has never been revisited or changed. That man has come onto the scene and sunk to the level of even placing them into the church, and more, placing them into the position of a pastor. Before, 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago, that was unheard of. I mean, it just wasn't heard of. If it happened, it was done nobody knew about it. The sinfulness of sexual deviancy and homosexuality has never been up for debate until decades and decades and decades of government schooling and the brainwashing that has been instituted. Now, I am so fortunate. I grew up lost. But when I grew up lost, they prayed. They had Bible reading. I mean, it was, what a stark difference. High school wasn't like it is today. And the things that are being done, it's not education, it's brainwashing, it's indoctrination. And kids are coming out of here, and we can see the statistics and the swing of statistics where before there wasn't an approval of this. There wasn't any liking of this. There wasn't any temptation to, I think we can experiment and things like that. It's thanks to them and unjust activist judges that this has all come to where we are. So enter into the mix a movement that is called Revoice. It's R-E, voice. It is a collection of same-sex attracted men or women who have these cravings, who have these desires, they have these urges that say they never act on them, but yet identify themselves in the same category as those that do. Now, without taking too much time to describe what goes on there and their infiltrations, which are numerous, let me say this. God unequivocally, in every day and in every age, condemns homosexuality as sin. Right? It doesn't approve of it. It doesn't condone it. And there has never been any making any difference between being homosexual and the act of a homosexual. You have to understand that, because they're playing with words. They say, "Oh, we don't get involved in the act." All right, so let me summarize a few things. The Revoice movement is the result of rejecting the true God and turning him into a man-made God. Homosexuality is one of the God's judgments on unbelief. But they want you to believe that they're believers. The only God created and blessed sexual orientation is heterosexual, and is expressed between, again, a biological male and a biological female. Today, we have unbelieving, and I'm putting this in quote, unbelieving Christianity. We have it in music. We have it in counseling. We mix the Word of God with the world's counsel and think that we're going to arrive at a good solution, or we just use the world's counsel. And you know what? You just go spinning and spinning and spinning. We've changed names and we call what God calls abomination into lifestyles. So why is it no surprise that now we're coming up with gay Christianity? Pretty soon we'll have Christian murder, Christian idolatry, Christian licentiousness. I mean, there's no end. Gay Christianity redefines biblical truth by smooth, deceptive words. Go with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And let me make something very clear. Maybe I didn't do that in the beginning. Everything that I'm saying here, the factual things that are here that can be proven, both in Scripture and experience, I want to, God, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ died for those people. He died for me when I was lost. He died for you when you were lost. We were no prize. We were no jewel. We were enemies. We were basically unlovely. And this group of people are the same thing. And if the opportunity comes to try to win them to Christ, I'll jump on it. I know where they are. I know something about them. And at the same time, don't you want to carry forth the going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Or you say, no, I don't want anything to do with them. Like a preacher told me. No, you don't want to go into that house because you have a family. And you might catch it, the disease of AIDS. And I thought, and I really am saddened that I didn't listen to him. Because what was he going to do? Is he going to bite me? Is he going to spit on me? What could he do? And not long after that, the guy died in his sins. Romans chapter 16. And look at verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but by their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, the media want you to stay quiet. The media want you to fear. Our government wants you to fear. Education, public education, wants you to fear saying anything about anyone. Because anything you said, everything that I've said here this morning can be construed by these other people as hate speech. Really? That's what you call the Bible, hate speech? So the only way that these people can legitimize their position is by changing the faith once delivered to all, for all. That's the only way the revoice could be considered legitimate. And don't you think they're not trying to change the Word of God? One of the translators on the NIV, activist lesbian. What do you think she does with Leviticus and some of these other places? Gay, and I don't even like to use the word. The gay Christianity denies biblical salvation and sanctification. Well, why do you say that? Because when you were convicted of your sin, and you knew that everything was set before you, you're going to die in your sins if you didn't trust Christ as Savior. And yet he went to the cross, he was buried, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he shed his blood, he paid your sin debt. And when you came to the realization, I can have salvation by receiving him by faith, and you trusted him, what happened? He saved you. And then what happened immediately? The Holy Spirit came and indwelled you. And you were a new person in Christ. That's where 1 Corinthians 6:10 comes into play. And such were some of you. But ye are, and there's a list. You're no longer that way. And so what this group is doing is saying, oh no, you're the same. We're going to receive Christ and be the same. Well, that what you're saying is, we're not going to trust Christ in the biblical way. So understand, this is a new thing. You may or may not have heard about it, but they are on the move. And they're working their way, like all of these movements, infiltrating local churches. So, I want to switch gears once again. Many of you know Charles Stanley as a preacher in Atlanta. I think did he finally resign? He was in a church for a long time. He had a son by the name of Andy. And I'm guessing that being the son of Charles Stanley, that Andy would have picked up a lot of things that were right, and a lot of things that were wrong, and that he would know the difference between right and wrong. So he preached a message. He has a church, a rather large church. I forgot where it is. But he preached a message called When Gracies Met Truthies. Cute, huh? And he described a couple in his church which were told to leave their position of leadership because they were actively involved in a homosexual relationship. But Stanley couldn't make himself call it for what it was. He said, let's just call it for what it really is. It's just plain old adultery. No, I'm afraid it's not, Andy. It's a little bit worse than that. You remember a guy by the name of Josh Harris? Josh Harris was an influential author for young people. I Kissed Dating Goodbye. He wound up with a mega church in Maryland, and then for some reason wound up in Vancouver and marched with the Vancouver annual pride parade, divorced his wife, left his children, and announced that he too now is a homosexual. Now, if I wrote a book and some of you bought the book and some of you were influenced by the book, my influence over you would be very narrow. But his influence was in the millions. And then he disavows everything that he writes. And do you know what that does to people? People that their faith is not grounded on the word. It hinges on man. It hinges on experience. It hinges on popularity. Our president of the Bible College got involved with a student. At the time he did that, the student body was 1,500. And he left with her, eventually divorced his wife. Much of the student body were devastated. Much of the student body went their own way. They said, this whole thing is a hoax. This whole thing is bogus. Crushed. Where was their faith? It wasn't in the Lord. It wasn't on a sure foundation. It was in a man. And this is a part of the problem. When you get these big image people, they follow the image instead of the word. And you can't do that. You've got to do the word. So, VeggieTale creator, I don't know what his name is, says, I'm all for homosexual Christianity. So what do we do? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, our Constitution has specific parts. The Statement of Faith has specific parts addressing this, figuring that the day would come where this, whatever is happening, would happen. And so at least we have it documented. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. The instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and actually it has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Preach the word. Stick to the word. Give out the saving gospel of Christ. And what it is that saves. Who it is that saves. And what's the result of salvation. And live a Christ-like life to back it up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I might as well take these in order to have it. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now you may not have suffered it yet. We may not have suffered it yet. But one of the things I just said is live a Christ-like life. He's saying you're opening us up for persecution. Why was Paul writing that? To warn you, to let you know. It's going to happen. Here's the thing. You know, I don't like to get political. But you have a liberal mindset in our country, and then you have an ultra-liberal mindset, and you have an ultra-liberal, ultra-ultra-liberal mindset in our country. And you can go to either party, and they think that the party in control is going to give you all the benefits of what they said they were going to give you. When you're selling Marxism and communism, you don't tell people that they're going to be the one of the ones that are going to be wasted and destroyed as well. You tell them they're going to benefit. And there's this little ring around that. These are sympathizers. And these sympathizers are going to be destroyed. But they think, oh no, because our man is in the White House. Doesn't matter. When it comes, they get rid of everybody but the ones they can use for workers and the ones that are going to run everything. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And look here in verse 29. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Oops, wrong book. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now he's writing this to the church at Philippi, and we don't hear too much about their suffering, but he's warning them it's going to happen. Okay, so then we come here, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look down here in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, that the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. There was a time when none of those passages I read would have any effect on any of us, because we were free from that. Other countries, not the same. All right, this is creeping in. And you've got to know, all right, what's going to happen? What should I do? Preach the word. Continue to preach the word. Stick to the word. Give out the gospel. The saving gospel. Not a perverted gospel. And live a Christ-like life. Be the salt that God commands us to be. And the light as well. What good is it if you hide the light? If you hide the light, you can't call that godly. If you're hiding what you are and who you are so that you won't be known, that's not godly. How can we be silent when we are the light and do all of these things until he comes for us? Or we go home to be with him, because there's no alternative. I'm not into fighting this legislatively. I'm not to Christianizing the America, because that's not going to ever happen. We've got to be busy giving out the word. We've got to be busy exposing the darkness. And if you're going to be silent and you're going to hide the light, and you are not going to be the salt, then what good are you? What good are we? What good am I? What kind of a watchman, what kind of a shepherd would I be if I don't warn you of what's been going on here for decades? I've not even attempted to approach this before. And more I see there was a guy in Australia, no, he was in England, and he wrote a little piece on his social media when they canceled the Pride parade in England. And he said, "Hooray!" And they went after him with a vengeance, wanted to deport him to Australia. Right? Why are we picking up those things? So that you will put a zipper over your lips. I'm not going to go looking for trouble, but I'm not going to shirk the responsibility that I have and that we have as believers. I didn't ask to be the light. I didn't ask to be the salt. I didn't ask Christ to die for me and shed his blood for me. He did all those things while, again, I was just a sinner. And now that he's done that, now that I know that he is within me in the person of the Holy Ghost, now that I know that he's leading and he's guiding and he's teaching, and I know I have a home in heaven, who am I to be quiet? Who am I not to be the light? Who am I to not be the salt? And I've often said, if we get down in numbers and there's just one or two of us and there's just nobody but my wife and me, and I get on a little basket and preach, then I can continue to do that. And it doesn't matter where. It doesn't have to be here. And I'm not a gloom and doom person, but I have a brain, and I have the scripture, and the scripture points out pretty dramatically what's on the horizon, and we need to be ready and to live our lives the same way we're living them now. But listen, the salt and the light have never been more important than they are now. So whatever the Lord may be doing in your heart this morning, praise God, and let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before you as hopefully your children by faith in Christ. I know that in myself there's no good thing. But in Christ, I am a child of yours. I am special. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to rule as king, I'm a child of the king. I have an eternity to spend with you, serving you, worshiping you. And it all begins here. And yes, it was rightly spoken in Sunday school this morning, the fear of man bringeth a snare. There are far, far too many people that used to be good people, faithful people, sound people, that are no longer that way. It's not my criticism, it's just an observation. We have more and more people that probably came in on a bandwagon of faith and then have been challenged over the years and have departed from the faith that they really never had. Father, we don't want to be like that. We pray that, we would stay strong and faithful and vigilant. I believe we all should be watchmen and watch women. We all should look ahead and foresee trouble and expose that trouble. We have children, we have husbands, we have wives, we have parents, we have brothers and sisters in Christ. Would be no good. I would be no good if I did not expose some of the errors that sometimes we get mixed up with. So, Father, have your way in this invitation. May your will be accomplished, and we'll thank you for it. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.